Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome everybody back to The Shift. For the Patreon specifically, you guys are going to let me know what you think about the setup, because you're going to get this early. I'm trying to see if I can just do this at home. So this is my setup. But other than that, everybody else, welcome back to The Shift. And this week's guest is Jason Salmon. Is that how you pronounce
Salmon,
that? Salmon.
Actually, yeah. You it's know? Spelled salmon.
Okay.
So if you're looking for me online, S-A-L-M-O-N, like the fish, that's how you do it.
So Salmon.
Salmon, yeah.
Wow.
Most of the time when people mispronounce it, they do it right before they introduce me for a set. And then I talk about myself for 15 minutes and I forget about any issues I had beforehand. So
yeah,
I don't have any problem. I forget to tell people and I don't know.
Yeah. It's like with the things with names. So when comedians get annoyed if you pronounce their name wrong and they're like, oh, it's my name. I'm like, actually, they don't remember your name.
Right.
Like I've had bits where I've said like Katie, but I have to be like, I'm the Katie. And you already forgot that my first name is Katie.
Right. Exactly.
They don't. Yeah. No, and if they really like you, they'll take the effort to go up to the host afterwards. And they always ask. I host a lot. They always ask for your name. So they never remember your name.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the good thing you have going for you is when they ask for you, they can say the Irish one.
Yeah.
You know, I get
doesn't
I get
work in Google.
The guy with the mustache. They go
the fish
who
name.
Who is the guy with the mustache? They never remember the fish name.
And so you just released an album, right?
A special, actually. Yeah. So on YouTube, it's called Biscuits and Gravity.
Okay.
I like a good pun. Released it on YouTube.
And what's the pun in Biscuits and Gravity?
Well, I mean, it's based on biscuits and gravy.
Oh,
which is a southern, a very southern dish.
I was like, is that some sort of like musician album or
That's true. That would make sense that you wouldn't know exactly. My first one was called Force of Nurture.
Oh, I get that.
But everybody mispronounced it Force of Nature.
Yeah.
Like I had to start spelling it with all of the letters in uppercase and the R in lowercase so that people could like flow along. Because people just start pronouncing it and just forget the rest of the letters.
I find puns kind of stressful though when it is someone's album because that
is.
Mike Feeney's Rage Against the Routine.
Routine, yeah.
Every time I'd be like, don't say machine. And then there's Felicia Madison. She's had me bring her up for her one woman show, but she said it's not Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and then I didn't remember the other part that she said.
So you just started out by going, whatever it is, this is definitely what it's not. It is not Marvelous Mrs.
No,
Maisel.
I said Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Really, yeah, I totally
like,
fucked it up.
Like, look, you're going to remember this, so just start searching this and find her name.
And so, special's coming out on YouTube. It's not
it is
an
out.
Album.
It is out. Yeah, it just came out. It's doing pretty well. Still moving.
I'm
pleased with it.
Yeah.
It's... It's based off the concept of, like, I'm Southern, but I like to talk about, like, heavier stuff in whimsical ways.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's sort of
you're
like...
You're Southern, but you're deep.
Yeah, I guess. I'm deep like a man-made lake.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what they did in the South?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In Texas, like, most of the lakes are man-made.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's not water in a lot of Texas. Yeah.
I saw a TikTok. I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory, but maybe it's real. But it was like that there was all these neighborhoods underneath some of these lakes.
Neighborhoods? That feels like a conspiracy theory. First of all, Texas doesn't spend enough money on infrastructure to have put if it's neighborhood, it's bunkers for rich people because they know the world's going to end.
Oh, this one was more like saying it was like racism that they just like filled up these lakes.
They're not. They don't like race. They don't. They're mostly racist because it was profitable for so long to that state. Like, and they're a racist state. Like, that's the state. You know, Juneteenth.
Wait, which state? Texas.
Texas.
Oh yeah.
Even though it's not as associated with it as Alabama and like Mississippi, because those are like deep South, like really associated with it. But Texas was. That's how Juneteenth came to be. Is like they were still. They hadn't told the slaves in Texas that they were free.
Jesus.
For 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation.
That's fucking crazy.
It's crazy. And then Juneteenth is like, oh, this is the 2 year delay on Emancipation Proclamation.
My gosh.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
So. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Always learning.
Yeah. Always learning. Yeah. I mean, well, I have to go back through like a lot of the history I was taught in school and go, oh, yeah, this is the full story of that.
Yeah, because my friend was just saying, even like with Rosa Parks, that it's taught here as she was just tired. But my friend was like, no, she was an activist. It was all planned. And
they said she was just tired. Oh,
yeah,
I guess so. I guess the original story was like, oh, she was just worn out.
Yeah, and it's like, no, she planned
it. Just a woman who'd had a hard day.
She's a badass. Yeah. She's like a hardcore feminist.
She had a hard day at the office where she was treated 100% equally as everybody else.
Yeah.
Her assistant, you know, her assistant just didn't show up that day, so she had to do all the work herself. That's why she was tired.
Some
sort of legend like that.
I guess they just didn't want people to seem like they could be activists, maybe, or...
I think the problem was is that a lot of people in charge were trying to keep the voters they had. They were trying to stay in power, and they knew that they couldn't tell.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at the cat.
Yeah. She's like...
The cat just walked in.
What a whimsical way. I know. Your cat is a black cat, so clearly
he was
woke.
Like
look, we're talking about your struggle. But yeah.
Two white people.
Just two of the whitest people.
Both from the South, but different Souths.
Different Souths, but yours is arguably as South as my South.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is it?
No, they're totally different places.
Oh, yeah. All right. Y'all don't know racism there at all?
I'm sure there is, yeah.
If there but were there black people?
Well, there wasn't slaves. And
okay,
that's a big
that's
point.
Solid. That's
and
solid.
And not institutionalized racism as well.
You guys just hate each other.
Yeah.
Mostly.
But that was back in the day, the Catholics versus Protestants. But
I mean,
there's a lot more racists in Ireland now.
Each other.
No, I don't know. I was just living in Kildare. I wasn't near the border,
okay.
So who knows?
Okay.
Okay, but wait. So you're in a long-term relationship.
I am, yes.
I thought it would be fun to do... How long have you been with your partner?
Over a decade.
Over
a
decade.
Long time.
You know the way it's like automatically, I just automatically say whatever words people are like, that's better to say. I just go with it. So partner's just gotten stuck in my head.
She would prefer partner to anything. I think it sounds like we're part of a law firm and both of us suck at legal things. So
yeah.
I think it's highly inaccurate.
I also just think I've been watching a lot of SVU. And so like they'll be like, she's my partner, or I gotta go get my partner. It must be confusing now when you go up and you're like, oh, this is my partner, you know, but you're actually just detectives, so you gotta be like, this is my partner, not my partner, but my partner,
right.
Partner.
Yeah, we got it. I mean, I think the whole problem with all of the issues that people have with like relationships and sexuality and gender and all that stuff is the fact that we've like used these singular words. The word sex means gender. It also means intercourse. It also you know, like it's got a huge mean. It's like maybe we should come up with different words. It would be okay.
I saw this this thing saying that English has like a lot less words than other languages too. They have way more for different things. Like in Spanish there's like two ways to say I love you. There's the friend I love you, but then there's the I love you.
Yeah.
Like
in
together.
Greek there's like four.
Wow.
Yeah, Philadelphia was named after one of them, City of Brotherly Love.
You know what, though? That'd be exhausting if you're like starting the date and you're like, 3 months in, I just got the first type of I love you.
Right.
You're like always waiting for the fourth I love you, the real shit.
In America, we do that with flowers. It's like, what does it mean when he gives me a white rose?
Really?
What does it mean when he gives me a yellow rose?
Do people really do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you look, if you go roses, it separates them out into
for
like
God's
different.
For God's sake, I didn't know that was something you also had to have worry
about. Here's the thing. You don't have to buy into it. You can reject all of it. You can say, you know what? I'm with my dude.
Yeah, you know, he's never got me flowers.
Him, you could call him your gal, and you could be his dude.
He is my gal.
Yeah, I mean, so whatever y'all want to do, that's what you get to do.
And we have some dead flowers over here. What do dead flowers mean?
Dead flowers means
that was for
that
my
you've
friend,
been,
though.
You're in a long-term relationship, yeah. And one of you needs to take the reins on cleaning.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it means.
We're at a standhole. I asked him to throw them out a few days ago, and he keeps being like, oh, I forgot. So now we're at a standstill.
Yeah.
Waiting.
Now it's just
because the bins went out. No flowers in them. They've gone out twice. No, and this has been longest dead. These flowers have been dead longer than they've been alive.
You guys are now just creating bookmarks.
Oh yeah.
That's all you're doing.
You need to put it into the book
there
though.
You go.
So it.
I mean, we'll eventually. Yeah, eventually you put it in the.
So
book.
You said 13 years.
I think 14.
14.
She knows for sure, so I don't bring it up a ton. Yeah. You know.
Time, though.
It is. For me, I'm like, I forget. Yeah. I know it's over a decade for sure. I say that on my special. I talk about it.
Yeah, every time people ask me how long I've been in America, I'm like, it's like less than a decade, but close to it, because I'm like, I don't know time.
Yeah, say almost a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the easiest. I always figure out the easiest way to answer questions. You know? It's just... things can be tiresome if people are asking details about that. It's like, I mean, if you're close to a decade of being in America, that's not going to be different if it's 9 years or 12 years. That's basically a decade.
Or we just celebrated 2 years together and he was like, oh, finally you'll be telling the truth now when you answer that, because I just had been saying 2 years for like the last 6 months, but it's just like easier then.
It is.
I just round up. Now we're together 3 years.
Yeah.
No, just
oh, that's how you're going to round up.
No. But there is, I like the Reddit dating advices, because the thing with the podcast is just the chats. Sometimes, like a lot of time, it's circles around dating or relationships and stuff like that. So you know, sometimes I do these Reddit things and they're kind of fun, but this one is it possible to date as a loner? If so, how, what does it take? And he says, I'm 30, male, loner all my life, never dated, never had serious friends, not even close with family. Just want to know what it takes to meet, date, and attract women as a loner. If it's possible, I've never figured out how to do that, and it seems to be getting harder just to even talk to them. And then he howled at the moon. No, he didn't. That was a joke.
He didn't.
I just felt like it was one of those, what's that from The Hangover?
I was
the
like,
lone
how did he
wolf?
Note that in writing? That's great.
Just howl, the moon emoji.
I think, I was a loner, but not to that extreme. I mean, it sounds like, based on what he's saying, he has to change a little bit. He's got to do work to be in a relationship. It's not just, I have to find, otherwise you just want somebody who either wants to own you or be owned by you. Because that's the only way that you're going to be able to have a detached yet connected relationship, you know?
Yeah, because like, if one way, if he's a loner and he's comfortable with his alone time, then
Which
it's not
great.
Like he's going to be possessive.
Right.
She can go out and do her own thing, presuming he wants a woman. Yeah, he said woman. So she can go out and do her own thing and be with her friends. Most women, like me and my boyfriend don't go out with each other's friends.
Yeah.
But we're both in comedy, so it's kind of like, and we're both quite independent and I like doing my own thing.
Yeah.
But I would generalize, a lot of women like when their boyfriend is able to come out and socialize with their friends. Usually when you're early dating, that's one of the things where you see how he acts with your friends. So he's going to have to at least a couple of times, or maybe go as a wedding guest. Mm-hmm. So if he is a loner, is he willing to be not alone for these sort of situations, like meeting her friends at brunch? Or...
Yeah, I mean, you can't be a loner primarily. Yeah. You have to be able to immediately step out of that, and not at your choosing.
Yeah.
If she's going to her... let's say you've been together for a few years. Let's say you've been together for 2 years. And she's like, we have to go to my cousin's wedding. You can't just go, I'm not doing that
because
I need to be alone. It's like, well, no, you can find time to be alone at my cousin's wedding.
Yeah,
it's not impossible to be alone anywhere.
No.
But he's got to find somebody who's comfortable being alone, too.
Mm.
And that's what I have. She's great. She's independent, does her own thing. has
I mean,
own
I think
world.
For comedians, he might be best looking for a female comedian, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, it's got to be somebody capable of looking at his life and going, look, yeah, I'll be with a wolf.
Yeah, yeah, because you're like, yeah. I'm perfect. I'm going to be out till 2 a.m. at this gig. I don't need anybody being like, oh, are you not going to...
Is this a wolf? Maybe this was a wolf. Maybe this... I mean, look, I don't know if there's a wolf-based thread on Reddit. We're not here to judge.
What I don't understand is, I get not being close to your family because you can't choose your family. So sometimes you go, fuck that. I can't be talking to them. But no friends. He says no serious friends, but like...
Yeah.
How do you have no friends in... Maybe I think that should be... you know, he should maybe try to like make human connections with other people. Because you could have a friend that you just meet up with once a month for a coffee. Right. He hasn't even got a person to meet up once a month for a coffee.
I think his first step to becoming capable of being in a relationship with somebody is becoming a capable friend to somebody. And in doing that, you gotta do two things. You gotta establish some consistency, even if it's once a month having coffee.
Yeah.
And you have to have established some sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be huge. It could be like, I'll pay for the coffee. Yeah. I mean, that could be it.
Yeah.
I will meet you for coffee. Let's have coffee. Let me hear.
Yeah.
Or just like meet for coffee and only listen to them talk.
Yeah. Because.
Which has got to drive a loner crazy. It's like, you don't sound at all like the voice in my head.
Yeah.
Right? That's disturbing.
Exactly. But the thing is, too, if you're a loner and you want to date women, and you have no serious friends, you haven't developed social skills, you know, so it's actually just get a friend to like exercise the social skill muscles.
Right, because dating, I will tell you right now, as a man dating a woman or as a woman dating a man, either direction, it requires empathy.
Yeah.
You have to be able to understand a world you cannot conceive.
Yeah.
Because the way that I process things is, with my girlfriend, it is literally completely opposite.
Mm-hmm.
We agree on almost every principle of our relationship and almost zero strategies.
Okay.
She goes about everything from this direction. I go about it from this direction. We are complete opposites.
Yeah.
But
you make it work because you're able to see from the other person's perspective.
Right, because we're both capable of understanding how the other one thinks. Not what's coming next.
Yeah.
Never know. And I'm constantly baffled. I'm like, how? How did you think that was the way to do this? But, you know, I also know that she's very independent. She's existed without me. I've existed without her. It's not like her way is wrong. It's just different than mine, you know?
Yeah.
And so if he's going to be in a relationship with a woman, he needs to develop empathetic skills. And there's a lot of ways to do that, but talk to women.
Yeah, and I think you have to have like a couple of relationships to learn. Like
it's usually
you have that fight and then that person's like, this is not okay to fight like this, and then you start like you learn all these things through trial and error.
Yeah.
And a lot
of error.
I think the empathy thing is such a good point too, because if he's just with himself the whole time, he probably can't see how other people would do other things.
Yeah.
That's like anytime.
And that's even people who may think a lot like him.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to empathize with if he's not around them.
Yeah, it's so true. Because even like with my boyfriend, I'll never like go to getting mad. I'll just be like, hey, you were doing this thing. And what, like, where was that coming from? Or why did you say that? Or why? And then he's usually says a scenario I could have never imagined. Because a lot of the time you're going with the baggage that words have for you,
right.
Or like,
exactly.
Or you've been told like, my dad would always be like, never date a guy who plays video games, like, oh, so lazy. And like, I actually now love a guy like that.
Yeah.
Leland plays video games because I like to socialize and stay out late and stuff like that. But I'm not like worried if he's like, oh, you got to come home and hang out with me, because he's like, oh, it's great, I'm going to hop on with my friends and play video games.
Right.
Because he's not as sociable as me.
Well,
he's
but
got
that's even a thing that, like, if I were playing video games, I would have had to, like, I could conceivably play video games with no friends because that's the way I learned to play video games. You know, you just played with a thing in front of you. If you had a friend, they were there with you.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, now it's like a legitimate, so it is a social media.
Maybe that's perfect for the loner guy. Get a friend on call of Judy.
Right. Yeah, kill people together.
Yeah.
On a video game. I want you to include that on a video game. I am not, do not do it in real life. That's terrible.
You could also, like, if you, I would suggest connecting with people online first, like women online, and maybe chatting to them a little bit before online and maybe do a phone call so you build a bit of a comfortability.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a verbal, like, interactive sense, yeah. But I think the difficulty is that the empathy...
He needs to
empathy is almost... is foundationally nonverbal.
Yeah.
Like, the ability for me to say something and you to respond and me to go, what is that look?
Yeah.
Process it.
Yeah.
But then ask you the question. You seem to be taken aback by that. Yeah. And have you go, this is what that actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and you'd be fucked if you met a woman from a different culture, too.
Yeah.
You didn't, that's the other thing. It's like, if you don't interact with people from different places, like, if you were to meet an Irish woman, we completely naturally just interact differently than an American woman.
Right, absolutely.
You know, like, I would...
Southern versus Northern.
Exactly.
Somebody who grew up in a city versus somebody who grew up on a farm.
Yeah, you know? Midwestern.
Yeah, all of it.
Someone said here... I don't think many women want to date someone who has no close personal relationships. I would agree with that too, because also when you first start dating, there's things that you should be able to turn to a friend and be like,
bounce it off.
Yeah, bounce it off, because you don't want to just go, yeah, I don't. But also,
I mean,
does
weirdly,
this person not talk all day to nobody?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I've had really enjoyable silent days. And I'm like, oh, I haven't said a word.
And then you hear your voice.
You ever do that? You ever go on the road and you go an entire day before you show up at the club? You're like, I don't think I've said anything.
Yeah.
I've done that.
I think so. I do voice message my friends, though.
Do you?
So, yeah, maybe like a good chunk of the day.
Yeah.
I have a lot of. I like to check in with people.
That's,
I'm the opposite.
Good for you. I mean,
no,
you're very
social.
Guy. You are very different than this guy.
I am so different. Yeah. Let's see. Did he write black? Oh, now there's just people. So, okay. Our advice for him is get a friend.
Yeah.
Start with
Practice.
A puppy.
Absolutely. You know what? A puppy is a good way to learn empathy, because you have to like connect with all of the nonverbal things.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you have to then learn that people are more complex than dogs.
And maybe just be alone. Not everybody needs to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read this one. He got mad that another guy talked to my mother. Red flag, ? This is very specific. I've been romantically talking to a guy. Honestly, we are not even dating, I think. I mean, we text and call every day and have sex. Pretty much dating. The texting and calling every day and having sex.
I know you don't want to put a label on it, but
even if it's casual, it's dating.
Yeah.
But I don't know where we stand. We met at the gym. There's another guy who came and introduced himself a while back. To be fair, he talks to everyone. He's not our loner guy. Well, one day that guy came and hugged me in front of the guy I'm talking to. He didn't say anything. Then that same guy, let's call him Adam, asked me if I was dating the guy. Let's call him John. I was confused. I told John and asked why. Are they asking, like, did John say something? John was upset and said it's none of their business and would confront him because it seemed like they are hitting on me. I said I don't want problems, and John got mad and I was defending the other dude. Where is it getting to the mother part? I just don't want drama. Then a week later, the guy Adam went and introduced himself to my mom. She works out with me. Wow, nice. And he, oh my God, that was like such a bloke thing. So, and I just was like, this must be like a fit mom.
Nice.
Well, the internalized misogyny came out.
There we go.
And he said he was my friend and asked for me. He just said he was his friend and asked for him. My mom told me in front of John, and John was so bothered and said he's lucky he didn't catch him or he'd beat him up. And she's like, why? He said that's disrespecting my mother. And she said, what? And he said he probably sees him hug my mom. So now he wants to get close to her. And then she said, this can't be jealousy, right? Let me see if she put her age. She didn't put her age. But this is like really childish stuff, I would say. Like if your guy is like, A, no one can hug your mother. He just introduced as a friend.
Asked if they were dating.
And says that they're going to be... Who cares? Even if it's a guy who is flirting with your girl, who cares?
First of all, the red flag is... when somebody asks if you're dating and he gets furious.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He may not want to discuss if you're dating. He may be a little, off put by that. also a red flag, conceivably, especially given the backdrop that we know that they've done. You know, they see each other, they have sex. You know, I mean, it's dating. It's okay to say we're dating.
Yeah.
It's okay. But yeah, that guy's. It feels like the boyfriend, the non-dating boyfriend,
John.
John's a little angry.
It's weird. John doesn't want to say that you're dating. He gets defensive when someone asks. He's not clearing up that you're dating, but he's pissed off that another guy is sniffing around. And then the guy has then gone and he stopped sniffing. He's introduced himself as a friend and the guy is still pissed off. And now he's saying he's going to beat him up if he hugs her mother. Yeah. What is this?
Here's
this
the thing.
Feels like a Jersey Shore episode.
If he's ready for violence but not commitment, then it inevitably... Both of those things are going to be tied together for the rest of your time together.
Yeah,
so
run.
Be careful.
Run. Because also as well, you're going to have guy friends in the future.
Yeah.
What are they going to have to... You're going to have to be like, okay, don't act like my friend and don't hug my mother. What? No, this is crazy. Okay, we don't like John.
I don't. I think she's got to be more decisive with him. She's got to make the call. She's got to say, dude... You either get to be my boyfriend and then threaten to beat people up, or you have to. If she just goes, look, we don't have to define this, but here's what I'm defining. You have to go be kind to that guy.
Yeah.
And actively, I have to see you actively say, hey, man, I'm sorry, I felt threatened by you, but hey, you have to either do that, or we're not gonna be boyfriend girlfriend, or we're not gonna have sex.
Yeah,
that's what he needs to know.
Vagina.
Yeah. You won't see me naked again.
Also,
the power of those words, by the way, tremendous.
But that's also frustrating that she has to, in her having to do that, she has to teach him, hey, it's not okay to say I'm going to beat people up. And that's like, so it's actually really frustrating sometimes as a woman in a relationship. You're like, why do I have to tell who, where did you not learn this?
It should be. But unfortunately, it's there. I have to also, you know, as a man, I have to translate that, hey, you know, just because when we first started going out and I was doing comedy, I had to say, I'm out all night, but it's because that's how comedy works.
Yes,
it's because I have to be at a...
That's a good point.
So I had to say, I know how this feels. I'm like, you can come along with me, although you'd probably be disappointed in my material because I was doing a lot of open mics at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but
like, it sounds like salmon, but it's not the fish.
So yeah, ba-ding, bing, nope, not a joke. Okay, I'll work on that. But yeah, so it. I mean, that's the whole thing. You have to translate it, which I go over in Biscuits and Gravity. I actually have a whole stretch of time, a whole track where I talk about how you have to learn to translate between men and women.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. But I also think that's different having to say like, hey, I have a job that's at night, so I'm not going to be available at night. Then, hey, you shouldn't threaten to beat people.
Right. No, they're not the same.
Because one is like something you should have learned in childhood, maybe teenage. But the other is, oh, okay, I just have to accommodate you at a different time of the day.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, there's levels of
you're
it.
Like...
But they're both things that... And I think the problem is men tend to be barbaric in the way that they handle things. And
that's
women
true.
Tend to be more petty or manipulative.
That's not true. I've dated so many manipulative men.
No, I'm not saying men can't be. I'm saying if you're going to make a general rule...
Yeah.
You know, I've seen women be barbaric too, by the way.
I would say in general, if we're going to generalize, yes, men have been allowed more with their fists, if that's punching walls, if that's there's more of a... That's why I think it's really good for men to play sports. Get that fucking testosterone out. Get it into it. But that's why I'm surprised he's in
the gym.
But maybe he's building up the muscles and he's not getting to use them. So you got to build them.
Maybe you need
box.
To cut off his supply of muscle milk. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, maybe take away the steroids.
Maybe if he was a vegetarian who worked out at the gym, he would be a nicer human.
Yeah, or you work out at the gym. This is the problem. You shouldn't just do it for the looks. Now go be in American football or go be in rugby.
Go do something. Work
something
this
that
out.
Lets you get that inner war out of you.
Yeah.
Because men
start a little
got that war
jiu-jitsu.
In your genes. Yeah.
Do a little jiu-jitsu. Little man wrestling.
Take it out in a controlled environment.
Then you'll figure out if it's just your anger or if you're attracted to men, because you're going to be sort of hug wrestling them
the
whole time.
Maybe that's why he was annoyed. He was like, why isn't he asking me if I'm
maybe
dating?
Maybe it was Adam.
Why isn't he hugging me?
Who he was jealous of.
Yeah.
Maybe that's... all the women in my life love Adam.
He's like, I love Adam.
Just like, and yeah, get out of my way. Adam's mine. Yeah. Yeah, make him go fix it and see if he starts with a hug or a handshake. That's where you know where the problem lies.
Yeah. Also, maybe before even
that's
any of this
true,
Reddit
actually.
Stuff. Wait.
A hug or a handshake. That's not true. That's not how you tell if a guy's attracted to another guy. And
oh, I didn't get that. I just thought you meant that he was hugging her or giving her a handshake.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
I totally misunderstood that.
I know. We don't
that.
Know where they stand. So, yeah, he could give her a handshake.
She should decide first out of all of this what she wants.
Yes.
Because she hasn't said in it what she wants. So if she wants to date him, be like a label, then she should decide before, because there's no point having this conversation with him if she's not all in.
Yeah,
because like whatever,
that is true. Yeah, if you don't know what you want, you're going to constantly run into chaos in your dating life.
And I hope she doesn't want him, because this guy's going to be a project. But to generalize, women love a project.
Yeah, they do, because they like fixing. They
I
like,
know, but we're getting better.
Like,
some of us have gone to therapy.
They like tinkering. yeah, which is also how they fight. Tinkering. Yeah, like just poking.
Yeah.
Smaller things. But it's a biological thing. Men can be more autonomous in the way they fight because they're bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Women need to have alliances and strategies because the women are Ukraine. Men are Russia.
Well, I just think as well, women in the past were like, their predator is men, and men are physically mm-hmm. bigger. So they had to learn how to like... talk the guy down or stab him with your word.
Or you had to learn social. I mean, words. Women have a larger amygdala, I think is what it's called, part of the brain, which is the part that's more connected socially. And that's a biological imperative because women needed to be in groups in order to
even
defend
to have a baby.
Themselves.
Because
you needed support.
You needed a group around
right.
you while you were...
Women need support.
Yeah.
Communicate that to John.
And men are going to need that more now that men are like...
men need emotional support mostly.
Yeah, they're going to need it more, going forward. Because it's like, it's been like, no, you don't need to punch things anymore. And they're like, how do I get this feeling out? So they have to learn about it. But I feel like the next generation will. It's like, it's okay to cry
lots. It's going
to
shift back and forth. But we're all going to be tied to the biological imperatives for a long time. You know, because it's not like women are in general bigger than men. That hasn't happened. It's not that there aren't big women.
But
and
I think there's getting
men.
Smaller men. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but there's getting bigger men, too.
Oh, yeah. Because I think there's some women, but very
there's
rare.
There's a lot
like
of women.
There's like a tiny portion of women that could take some guys.
There's a lot
I'm
of
like,
women
hey,
in the WNBA that are 6 feet plus. But
it's not
but
the majority.
There's almost no men that are under 6 feet.
In the WNBA.
In the NBA. Yeah.
But there is small men. Like, there's a couple of guys in comedy I'm like, I could fucking take you.
Yeah.
But it'd still be like a, maybe you'd get a kick in. I don't know. Yeah, anyway, I don't want to be fighting anybody. I don't have it in me. When you never online dated.
I did way back in the day. I did Match.com.
Oh my God. What was that like?
That was like, I understand when people complain about apps and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, you could see the seeds of that. Because it was insanity.
Yeah.
But I had to like learn how to market myself online.
Oh. Because
I was not good at it. I was like self-deprecating and things like that. It's like, that's not how you do it. Because nobody wants to see you being humble.
Yeah.
Because the next guy they're going to look at is saying, I do this and this and this and this. And that's why I'm exciting. And you're going, I'm okay.
I mean, I think that would kill in Ireland.
It might.
Yeah,
well, that's the sensibility.
Culture,
I mean, that's part of my Irish,
that's
part of my culture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So it is part of my
but
sensibility.
But yeah, New York City, it's all like, oh my God. When a guy would brag too much
hard
on the
sale.
Apps, I'm like, no, thank you. No, you've got some bodies in your basement.
Yeah.
You're pushing it too hard.
But New York is a city of the hard sell.
It really is.
It's a city of people who view themselves in some vein as alpha.
Yeah.
And it's tough because everybody can't be an alpha.
No,
and
the alpha.
And the most alphas, human-wise, are not just animal-wise, because most alphas animal-wise just beat up and kill the other alphas, mm-hmm. but the most alphas human-wise actually are accommodating to people who are, because they don't fear. They're not alpha. Yeah. Alpha
like the best plus, managers.
Alpha plus insecurity, that's the worst.
That's the, no, you're so right. It's like the best managers. The best managers are the ones who trust their employees to do the job.
Right.
The worst managers are the ones that are over your shoulder being like, no, move the soap to a centimeter over here. And it's like you're micromanaging. You don't trust. You don't even have
they
security
trust their
in yourself.
Employees. They set up their employees to do the job easily. They make everything easier.
I saw another TikTok. I base all my facts off TikTok.
That's fair.
But it was really interesting because the guy was just talking about like how, let's say, like patriarchy and this alpha notion, like the alpha guy and the, I'm the boss. And a lot of the time, alpha males types like that will kind of reference like, well, it's animals are like that and it's like biological or whatever.
Yeah.
But he used an example of how they thought these male researchers researched deers.
Yeah.
And they thought that the deer, there was a clear head deer. He was the alpha. He did all decisions. He led everybody. And then years later, a group of researchers came and they were predominantly female.
Yeah.
And he said, it's so funny because even with this research, none of the females were, it just was like female researchers leaded by, like, do you know, it doesn't even say like their names.
Their names.
But because they have a
just
different.
Just a bunch of broads researching.
Fucking, you know, yeah,
I mean, they did. Yeah,
some
they
bimbos.
Used slang. Yeah. Just, yeah. Bunch of sluts out there.
Yeah, yeah, they were trying to fuck those deers.
I mean, what were they wearing?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah. That skirt was too short. No wonder those deers were being alpha. They were distracted. Yeah. But so basically, because they think in a different way, they were able to see that this the alpha deer, what he actually was doing was, so in when the males did the research, they saw that the alpha deer would go a certain way, bring them to water / home / wherever they always followed. But what the women noticed was that they would, all of the deers would look up and point different directions. And what the alpha deer would do was counting their heads.
Really?
And then so the most, so let's say four of them would look towards the watering hole and then six of them would look towards the whatever, the green grass. And so he would count it up and then he would go. So they were actually able to show it was more actually democratic than that alpha is the boss. He's just the guy who was able to count up the heads.
Yeah.
So interesting.
It is. Well, I think, I mean, the bit that I do on this special is very much driven by that concept of men tend to take things from complex and try to make them simple.
Mm-hmm.
And women try to take things simple and make and delve into the complexity of them. And that's why women are so into relationships and dealing with other humans and social. And these are all generalizations. I mean, there's women who aren't that way at all. But that's why they're so much better at that because they go into the complexity of the human mind, which is, whereas a man's like, well, that dude's like bowed up. He wants to, you know, that dude says hi to you. He wants to have sex with you. That's what he's doing. There's no other choice. And you're like, well, maybe
it's
not.
It's so true. I think it's really important for guys to have close female friendships if they can well.
Absolutely.
Because I had a guy friend and he was like, about his other guy friend. He was like, I don't know. He just doesn't seem to want to hang out anymore. He hasn't really like, I invited him out a couple of times and I'm just like, whatever. And I was like, just ask him, is everything okay? And just be honest, like text him your feelings. Or I was like, call, but he was like, oh, that's too much.
Yeah.
But I was like, just text him, be like, oh, I just feel like you've bailed a couple of times and I just want to make sure we're okay. Or if there's anything I said, like, I'd love the chance to clear it up. And then the friend called him and was like, no, honestly, I've just been trying to like hook up with this girl. So I've been like bailing because every time you were free, she was free. But like, I think you're the best dude. I fucking love you. And afterwards goes like, oh, thanks, bro. What do you mean? It was like, this is so nice. And we're like, oh, I feel closer. I was like, you need a woman. Cause
I mean, I felt like they were evolving until you vocalized them. And I'm like, they may be actual cape. or surf dudes. One
bro
of those
dude.
Two.
I
yeah.
just like, I if gave them the, I gave them the bro. Voice. They didn't
if
have the bro voice.
If cavemen surfed, that would have been the exact voice.
Though I gave them the bro voice. There is this. But yeah, no, it is interesting, like the what you're saying about the complexity versus men versus women and just like the bit of brain thing. I think it's also like nurture, as in like how you're, you know, because as a woman, you're brought up. This cat is having the best time. He's just so happy the podcast is back here.
Yeah.
As a woman, you're brought up to like smile and be kind of like hospitable, and that's a big part of my thing. I always smile at people, I always hug. And then it's interesting, as you even see with like my brothers, they weren't really told to smile as much, and it's just these like little subtle things that automatically, as a woman, you're taught these different things. And actually just smiling in public actually made me more sociable, and it made me.
Yeah.
But for other women, it's like, why the fuck was I told to smile all the time? My face is sore. So it's like, I shouldn't be just smiling for men. So there's like layers to it. But you're just, from a child, taught different skills, different way to interact.
It's interesting. My girlfriend is intolerant of any of that stuff. She's like, I'll smile if I want to smile, and I'll frown if I want to frown, and I'll scowl if I want to scowl.
She's dead right.
She is, yeah. And,
my face
but
was hurting
I,
me the other
I
day
I tend
smiling.
To be the one who's a lot more like, well, maybe this person's like, you know, I tend to be a lot more emotionally, like delve into the emotional complexities, and she's much more into the physical complexities. She's like, this needs to be like this, and this needs to be organized like this, which is great. Our house looks amazing because she's like a militaristically organized.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if I put something in the wrong place, it might be moved into what she deems to be the correct place, which inevitably, based on the fact that we don't think the same at all, I will not be able to find.
Yeah.
So
that's
like,
so funny. I love that, the correct place. Yeah. I feel like I organized stuff. Like, I organized our whole apartment and everything, but I'm trying to think if I would. I mean, I think Leland is more like he has spots for places, but yeah, I wouldn't have put it there. You have to nearly learn where, because you got to go look for it, and you're like, where would Leland put this?
Well, she's got a very distinct, like, there's rules. Like, I can't leave stuff on chairs.
Oh.
Things like that. But we do in the room have, I have a coat rack or a hat rack or whatever, just that I hang clothes on, that I'm like, well, I wore this once, but I will wear it again before I wash it. You know, I'm not gonna put it back in the drawer because it's not clean, but I'm not gonna put it in the hamper because it's not dirty. Yeah. So,
and that's okay. She's okay with that.
Yeah. Well, that's why she bought that coat rack.
Oh, that's great.
Specifically for that.
That's perfect.
But I agreed. I won't put anything. We have like a little sort of bench thing. Don't lay stuff on the bench. But like today, before I was gonna come here, I had thrown this shirt over the chair, and then when I went to find it, it wasn't there. And she had just come in, so she had come in and like put her stuff up and gone over and worked on her computer, and I look over there and it's hanging in a different place, and I'm like, ugh.
I know, that is funny. That is like the, because I think for like the other person, so if the other person likes things a certain way, because I'd even see it like with my parents, and my stepmom likes things a certain way, or even like with me, like I hate when the laundry's not put in the bag. I hate when Leland throws it on the bag.
Uh-huh.
And so I would have said really nicely, like multiple times, like, hey, can you just remember to put it in? And hey, can you just remember? Oh, yeah, of course. But then it gets to the point where the other person isn't realizing, because their brain isn't like that. They're just like, and then you're like, can you put it in the fucking bag? You get to the point where you're like, ah, and then the other person's like, Jesus. But like, no, but Leland's pretty great. Like, he will be like, oh no, you, like, if I get to that point, he's like, no, honestly, this is, I don't know why I keep spacing on that. But you never want to get to, because it's like, I think at that point, it's not about the laundry anymore. You're feeling unheard.
Right.
You're like, you're not listening to this one little thing that makes me fucking happy.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's good to clear up where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Like, it's good to say, look, I don't pick up on this. I'm sorry, I don't. My brain doesn't cling to this. My brain clings to this other thing.
Yeah.
My brain needs a little chaos. Yeah. Her brain needs pure organization.
Especially if you've been doing it a certain way your whole life.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. You move in with someone and it's going to take time for them to get.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, I'm like looking at my chair now with all my clothes hanging over. I'm like, your girlfriend would hate me.
She is so distinctly. But I told her, I said, just tell me.
Yeah.
I said, I know it's going to seem like you're nagging.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I need you to tell me when I do it wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I went through a stretch where, like, you know, because I'm always coming in late and she's always going to bed early. She gets up early. So I had a string of, like, over the course of a month, I probably left the door unlocked like 3 times.
Oh, jeez.
And she told me the third time, and she says, it's happened 3 times. I'm like, tell me, because that puts it back into my head. I'm like, it may take 6 times for it to stick. And that doesn't mean I won't still forget it, because when I'm coming in, I'm listening to my set, or I'm listening to a podcast or something, or music or something. So I'm not thinking of locking the door, but it's generally habitual. But sometimes I don't for whatever reason. And so, yeah. like, it took me telling her, tell me if it happens, even if you are annoyed and even if you know it shouldn't happen, even if you think I'm going to be annoyed. I'm like, if I did it wrong, I did it wrong. There's no way around that. No matter yeah. how irritated I might get, you know I'm reasonable enough to know that it's not your fault yeah. that you're telling me that.
Also, I'm sure I like that you're saying you don't see it. You won't see it as nagging because most people won't. Because they're like, it's just once. It's just yeah. twice. It's so funny. It's always the yeah. third time. You're like, I've literally been like, this has happened 3 times.
Yeah.
it's
yeah.
like, what? I do not remember what. And I'm like, on 19th of May at 7 p.m.
yeah. So, but that's the thing. If it happened subconsciously, it's like it didn't happen
exactly,
for me.
Exactly, yes.
So if I do it twice and you don't tell me about it, then yes. I've not done it.
Yes.
I've not done it until it's been noted that I've done it.
It's so funny as well because these things can tend to get like, well, this is great, but you know, we have men come a lot because Leland's friends will come in and out for the mm-hmm. podcast.
Yeah.
And the cat, you know, I've said a few times, like, don't leave the toilet seat up because the cat gets in. He's obsessed with fucking toilet water.
Really?
Yeah, he just wants to put all of his paws in it mm-hmm. and then crawl and then walk all over the bed in dirty toilet water. So, you know, and they forget. And that's, of course, that's fine. But Leland was like, we should just get like a sign. But he thought I had said, no, I said we should just get a sign that says, please close afterwards. But he thought I meant and like his one friend who keeps doing it. And I was yeah. like, that would, if we said such and such you with the name, that would be yeah. the most passover. That he was like laughing. He was like, you want to get a sign good. With his name? And I was like, no, just a reminder. But yeah, even that seems passive aggressive. Like, please, it feels like you're also like a teacher.
But I think the thing is that if you're being direct, mm-hmm. just be direct, whatever the thing is. What's the problem? Here's how you address it. You say, hey, we need you to do this. Mm-hmm.
Every time they come, they still forget, which is fine because they don't live here.
Right.
But it's funny, I'm just thinking about like Irish parents. And I named my album is coming out 2nd June. I named my album I'll Do It Myself because Irish parents will be like, oh, can you do this? And then you're like, sorry, what? We're like, what do you need me to do? And they're like, oh, I'll just do it myself. Or my dad will always say, if you want something done, do it yourself. And I think that's like an Irish thing where, let's say if the same friend comes over a few times and he forgets to do it, an Irish thing would be just like, okay, I'm not fucking saying it anymore. I'm just going to check the bathroom every time I just close it. Because it's easier than the fucking headache.
Well, because the social confrontation for an Irish person is a whole level of difficulty.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it a few times, but there's only a few times where it stops sounding nice and it's a...
Well, it doesn't have to sound nice.
Oh, right.
If it's a command, it can... My girlfriend is Italian, which is the opposite approach, which is I will tell you to your face.
I love that. I do love when people tell you things
to your
face.
She would walk in there and go, why is the toilet seat up? Did you leave the toilet seat up? Please don't do that anymore.
Yeah, you know? She's dead right.
And nothing wrong. And then she'd just treat you nicely after that because she's not mad at you, but she needs you to know.
Yes.
And the fact is, the things that are important to you, I have to be taught like a toddler. And the things that are important to me, she has to be taught like a toddler, you know? And that's the second we let go of the fact that that person's an adult, they should know how I think.
Yeah.
They don't even know how they think. You ask any therapist, they'll say people come in here all the time. Nobody knows what they think.
Yeah. No, it's so true. It's so true. I remember when my sister was here, she was like, oh, was your boyfriend okay when he was at his friend's? Because he was like on his phone. And I was like, that is kind of like, I wonder why he wasn't like interacting with my friends. So then later, and she was here, I was like, hey, were you okay when you were my friends? You know, you're on your phone. And he was like, oh, yeah, you guys were like talking about politics. And as the white male guy, I didn't want to like throw my piece.
That's very, tender territory.
Yeah, he was like, and I was also texting my friend to see if he was coming up later for when we played the board games. And he did play board games with us. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then afterwards, my sister was like, oh, it was so nice to see because, you know, she was kind of like, oh, you know, does he not like interact with your friends? He's not want to get, no, she's younger, but like, I was like, yeah, I didn't want to go in with that because I'm sure there's an explanation right. that we wouldn't have thought of. Yeah. And yeah, he's right. My friends are pretty fucking opinionated, and it's a subject that he probably is like, he is dead right. That's a subject he should probably stick quiet for when it's like probably, women. And,
that's probably the best advice right there is just simply anytime you go in to find out why somebody does something, go in with the assumption that you might not know what they were thinking.
The second you go in
with the assumption you know what they were thinking, then it becomes a fight that you have to de-escalate.
Oh, 100%.
Even if you find out quickly, it might happen quickly. But if you go in going, why did you do this? What was that? Are you okay? You know, like concern is always a good way to enter into it.
Yeah, were you comfortable or what's going on? No, you're so right. I remember a friend, like, not a friend, but acquaintance, like 12 months later being like, I just want to let you know that a year ago you said this thing to me and it made me think that you think I'm stupid. And I was like, I all he did was like, he'd said something and I slagged him on it. I like roasted because it was a funny way to say it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I never thought about that again. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And if I thought you were actually an idiot, I wouldn't have joked about it. I would have just been like in my head quietly.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that that had been in his head for 12 months.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I think I have to explain to anybody who's not in comedy is like, if I joke about it, I don't think it's an issue.
Yes.
I think it's an anomaly.
Yeah.
And that's what's funny to me about it.
Yeah, Irish people joke all the time. It's like part of our language.
Yeah, and if I thought it was something that was an issue, I wouldn't joke about it. I would pull you aside.
Yeah, like things even like roasting you about your appearance or something. I'm always like, if they really thought that this was like an ugly thing, they probably wouldn't say it. You know, they wouldn't joke about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing is most comedians are approaching it like that. And
yeah, comedians are like Irish people in that
different
way.
People have different ways of approaching things. So sometimes with people, you're like, was that passive aggressive? Because I come from the South. We are extremely passive aggressive.
You guys are.
Yeah.
I had to deal with some Southers and I was like, I'm so confused because it's passive aggression with a smile, but you're clearly pissed off, but I'm confused because you're smiling.
It's like,
so I'm
why
like,
why would you say it like that?
And you're like, I'm like, it's very like, whereas like Irish passive aggression is different because it's sarcastic. It's like, do you know, like, oh, let's say I came in with a cup of tea and my dad would be like, just fucking make my tea myself. No, I'll just make a cup of tea for yourself. Don't worry about the rest of us.
Yeah.
But that I know, that language I know. Yeah. So it.
There's a whimsy to it.
Yeah, it's kind of trying to like learn a new language. Like I'm like, oh, is this.
Tone is
a
whole language.
Is this real happiness or did I just. Yeah, you're. It's like a different English.
And some people have a real hard time changing that. My mom is so passive aggressive and I love her to death and she's great. But when she will ask questions in a way that infuriates me because I know what the underbelly of it is. Because
can you
give
us an example?
And the crazy thing is, it's mostly not how she really feels either. Like I remember doing a commercial, did this big national commercial, and I've made my living for like a long time doing commercials. So I've done a ton of commercials. And it was one of my first big commercials. And she goes, oh, are they all just 30 seconds? And I was like, that's your takeaway from this? Like I am on television. Every one of your friends is seeing me. I'm like doing this major, I'm on every television. And I'm making a ton of money with this. And she's like, oh, well, you know, maybe you'll get a minute long one.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. It's
one of those where
I mean, that feels a little Irish, too. I've definitely seen my grandmother talk to my dad, like, with stuff like, I remember when he got his master's and we were like, oh, it's amazing. And she came over, but she didn't, like, congratulate. Like, there's always, like, a, well, you could be doing better.
Well, mine is either I'm Dutch, Irish, and German. So the Dutch and German is just like,
yeah.
That's
you want a celebration. Oh, you got a 30 second. We'll talk when you get a minute. And then you've got a minute. We'll talk when you get 2 minutes.
Commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to clap
the German,
on the back?
The German part doesn't even want to give you any details. Yeah. They're just like, And you're like, is that good? Yeah. I don't even know if that's good. Is that good? Is that just like, better next time? Like, they force you to interpret everything.
Yeah.
Passive aggression is just their way of sort of going, I don't want you to get too
comfortable.
I don't want you to get too comfortable. Don't let this make you content. Yeah. Like in a way, it's this parental.
It's an immigrant thing as well, I'd imagine. Like, come on, we came here. Keep going.
Yeah, I think it's like, keep going. Keep moving. Yeah. Don't get complacent. Yeah. You know, it's like that's sort of what it is. Because I've heard people talking to me. They're like, she talks about you every time she comes in. Like, people, I'll go to places.
Because my grandmother does that too.
Yeah.
She was showing me pictures of my dad in the newspaper, and he would never, she literally praises him. And then when he comes in, she's like, giving him a dirty look.
Yeah.
It's mad.
But the weird thing is, and my mom was a teacher, which also was interesting, because she explained to me at one point why she did it the way she did it. Because my sister had a lot of issues. She had a lot of learning disabilities and stuff growing up. So she was always extra complimentary of my sister. And she would always talk about like things I would do that messed up or failed or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, I'm like, why do you do that? Why would you tell that story? And she said, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. She said, but here's the thing. You're like good at everything. Like she's like, I always feel like my job with you is to keep you from getting too big of a head.
Yeah.
And my job with her is to keep her confident.
Yeah.
And she's like, sometimes I'm going to fail at that. And I'm like, you just did. And she's like, well, you know, chill out on rubbing it in. But, you know, so it's a dynamic. I mean, they're humans too.
Yeah. Once you find out where they're also coming from.
I mean, once you figure out how to interpret a parent, you're on your way to figure out how to interpret a partner.
Yeah.
Both a cop partner, a legal partner, and a partner that you are together romantically.
Oh, romantically.
Or crime. Or both romantic crime. You could Bonnie and Clyde this thing.
Oh, we should wrap this up. So your special is on your YouTube. What's your YouTube?
Well, it's not my YouTube. I did it through a distribution group.
I'm like, the album on your page?
Yeah. The album is coming out, but I'm going to do a launch of that, so it's going to play on Sirius like all the way through. So, but they're both called Biscuits and Gravity. You can look it up with my name, or it's on 4x3. They're the group that distributed it.
Oh, yes. They spoke to me.
Did they? Yeah.
Yeah, but I went with New York, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is now there's all these distribution outlets. So, you know, it's good because it got a lot more visibility than I would have been able to pull in. And it was good for both of us because it got a lot more visibility than most of their other stuff. So
that's so great.
Yeah. So it like worked well for everybody involved.
And what's your Instagram?
My Instagram is jsalmoncomedy, jsalmon comedy, J the letter. And that's Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff is.
Did you find more people come over to your Instagram from your special?
Well, I've been putting up clips from the special, so a lot of people have been coming over. It's just been steady growth.
That's great.
Which is nice. It's good. I'm working with a distribution company because it's going through their platform. Is a little bit more difficult because you can't just like streamline everything through all your stuff. You have to collaborate and you have to bring out. It's a lot more like before I was coming in here, I was coordinating with the guy. I'm like, I need you to, because he was putting captions on the video, which is great to have somebody else captioning, but they do it wrong. And especially, you probably find this with your accent.
Yeah.
They miscaption things. I'm like, that's not what I said.
Yeah.
This is what I said.
I do all of mine myself, but when I get lazy and use the Instagram or the TikTok subtitles, I'm like,
yeah, you have to fix
in
so
what
much stuff.
World, how is that even close to what I said? But that was great. So yeah, took your Instagram and everything. And thank you everybody for listening. And Patreon heads, let me know what you think of the video. If you're not signed up to the Patreon, it's patreon.com/theshiftpodcast. Come over. It's all very private. That makes it sound sexual. It's not sexual.
It does. It's fun. It's VIP.
It's not only fans. It's just VIP of the word. and then... what else? Rate, review. Thank you so much. And this will probably come out just before my album's coming out, so June 2nd, and then my special is coming out after that. It's like the opposite of yours, but I'm excited. Okay.
Awesome.
Love you all. Bye. Wait, it's I'll do it myself. Okay, bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.